It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. And so it's an honorable thing to stop strife. And then avoiding strife is indeed difficult. The New Testament church was plagued by strife. And for that, we looked in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions." Then he puts it in the form of a question. Are you not carnal and walk as men? In other words, you're living not like God wants you to live, but you're living by the mentality of the way a man would view the thing, or a woman. And so, but he says, envying, strife, and divisions. Yep, that's the triplets that take place indeed. So the Bible warns against strife. Avoiding strife is difficult, and the New Testament church was plagued by it. And now tonight we start with the cause of strife. When strife exists, underlying it is sin.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Yeah. Strife doesn't exist, but what there's a sin that has prompted it. Now, James, if you'll want to see more of what the Bible has to say. You know, get to a subject like this, and sometimes we don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. James chapter 3, verse 7. I'm reading a good bit of background, then we'll come to the verses that I'm focusing on. James chapter 3, verse 7. "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind." There's all kinds of creatures identified there that have been tamed. "But the tongue can no man tame." You can control a snake. You can control birds. You can control lions and tigers. You can even control dolphins and a lot of other sea animals. That's what it says here, verse 7. But you can't control the tongue. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly, evil, and is full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. And the problem with cursing men is that they are made after the similitude, after the likeness of God. That's why it's wrong to curse a man. Then he goes on and he illustrates. "Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing." So you want to say, oh, God is so good, and praise God, I'm so happy for what he did, and look how he worked here in this, and look how he worked there. Oh, I'm just so thankful for God. You blankety blank blank.
Yeah.
You see? No. He says right here very plainly, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Things just ought not to be that way. It's just wrong. Another illustration. "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries?" It's the obvious inference. No, it can't. And he goes on and says, "Either a vine, figs, makes it clear, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." It's one or the other. Mark it down. You're either going to cause peace or you're going to cause strife. You're not going to be able to do both. So take your pick.
Come on.
Going to be a troublemaker or you're going to be a peacemaker? That's what, that's what, you know, if you got your Bible open and are looking at the same verses that I just read, remember last week it was that I said, I know I make some of my comments on some subjects very blunt. I don't intend to be crude, but I do intend to be understood. And I also intend to not be ignored.
I like it. Amen.
Now you get an evangelist in from outside and he does that sort of preaching and praise the Lord, isn't he good? Wow, I want to go hear him again. He's going to be over yonder somewhere.
Come on.
You don't have to go over yonder, though you may do that. I'm going to put it the same way. I'm going to put down where the rubber meets the road.
Come on.
I had a cheeseburger for lunch.
Ooh.
Yeah. I had a cheeseburger, a big cheeseburger. I mean, what I mean by big, they're this big around. You say, what's that got to do with what you're talking about? Listen, folks, I like when the rubber meets the road, and I like when the hamburger hits the plate. And I like when you can ignore or avoid the truth.
Come on, amen.
You don't have to accept it, though I would pray you did. But you're going to hear it. You're going to know what it is. You're not going to get some kind of pussyfooting, panty waist, you know, beating around the bush thing. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Who is a wise man? Or who's dumb? Who's wise and who's dumb? You say that Bible verse doesn't say that. It will. Just hang on. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. Don't be happy about the strife and the envy. Don't be happy about the kind of thoughts and the kind of talking that causes strife. Don't lie against the truth. This wisdom, that kind of thinking, that kind of wisdom. You see my quote marks because it's not true wisdom. This wisdom descendeth not from above. It's not from God, but it's earthly. It's sensual. Wow. Do you see what God then calls it? Devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. When there's envying and strife, there's always going to be confusion. There's always going to be difficulty. And every evil work, in other words, the envy and the strife is the soil in which other bad things take place. Just wait. You'll see them. You'll see them. But the wisdom that is from above, he describes it. He says, first of all, it's pure. Then it's peaceable. So it isn't double. Double-sided, you know, you get a word and know you could take that, you know, dirty or you could take it clean. No, it's first pure. Then it's peaceable. Doesn't cause trouble, causes peace. It's gentle. And it's easy to be entreated. I mean, it's easy to get a hold of. Some wisdom that's from above, you can just grab hold of it and it isn't going to be hard to hold on to. And it's full of mercy. Yeah, maybe he did wrong, but it's peaceable and it's full of mercy. I'm going to cut him a little slack. Why don't Christians cut each other some slack rather than right away hold their nose to the grindstone? We're going to make them give an account for this. They ain't going to get away with that. Oh. That's not what the Bible talks about. It says, let's have a little bit of mercy and good fruits. without partiality. You know what used to turn my wife and I upside down and inside out? We were involved in our children's clubs. We had different organizations that we had children's clubs with. And meaning it was, you know, some was Awana Club, some were, I forget what the one out of Tennessee was. But anyway, we had different clubs. And Pat and I were always involved in them. And we also, because we were in leadership, frequently we'd be able to stand off and observe how the workers worked with the boys and girls. Now, you know, some boys and girls are just so sweet, you want to hug them all the time. And then some boys and girls just try your patience all the time. One you want to hug all the time, and the other one tries your patience all the time. That was not a problem. You know what was a problem? When you'd see a worker love on the kid that was easy to love. And they were hard.
That's right.
Hard was their dealing with the kid that wasn't easy to love.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Now if I recall, the Bible says, what reward have you if you're kind to the good people? But you're not kind to the people that try your patience. Yeah, I forget where that Bible verse is. That is a very loose, not even, you know, quoting of it, okay? But you know, look up the context, you'll find easy. I would if I knew what the context was, and I'd give it if I knew what it was. And so, but you know, what does he say here? He said, people that have wisdom from above are without partiality and without hypocrisy. Then you sit in a workers' meeting and you hear the worker that was hard on the kid that tried her patience and so sweet with the kid who was lovely and easy to get along with. And you hear the worker say, oh, it's such a pleasure to serve the Lord and to work with these boys and girls. What an opportunity he's given us. Oh, made my stomach turn. Because you knew by watching her actions, she was not talking about so-and-so. She was only talking about this one.
Come on, Psalm. That's good, Pastor.
Yeah. We need to be consistent. We need to, you know, you think everybody loves you?
Come on, help us.
You think you're just the sweetest thing going since sticky buns or sweet roll? You know, there's some people that it's real easy for you to get along with. And then there's some people that, boy, you have to put forth effort. That's okay. Just put forth the effort. Because probably to somebody, they may have the same thing with you. And you like when they put forth the effort for you.
Yeah. Come on, that's good.
This is supposed to be the church. Help. It's supposed to be God's house.
Come on, help us.
Good night. Sometimes you can get treated better down at the Legion and the VFW than you can in the church house.
That's right. Come on.
You say, how do you know? You go to them places. No, but I've talked to the people who do.
That's right.
That's
right.
You better believe it. And they would tell me through the years. Now, fortunately, it didn't happen all the time, but I heard it more than once.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah. You say, well, they're being unduly critical. They may be, but we ought not to give them any reason for it. Uh-huh. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Sown in peace of them that make peace. And so the underlying reason for strife is sin. When somebody causes strife, there's some sin in their life that has gotten control and has turned them into the strife maker. And then strife can develop when a difference of opinion becomes a priority between two people or more people, okay? You can have this group, that group, you know, as well as this guy and that guy, this woman and that woman. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13:10 shows that pride accompanies strife, or if you please, causes strife. You know, pride, my way, my view, my idea. Strife comes when a person insists that his or her view and way is the not only the right one, but the only way. A refusal to listen to another person's view or even to just consider another person's view. Now, what I'm about to share by way of an illustration, it never entered into the need to consider another view. But it could have been the kind of setting in a church that could cause strife. Now, you listen to me while I describe the whole thing. I had a problem with the handicap restroom. I would sure hope it were kids, okay? But because I'm a nice, sweet guy and don't want to always accuse the kids, somebody thought it would be neat when they left the restroom if they'd lock the door, turn the lock, pull the door shut. Of course, five people came along, tried the door, and thought somebody was in it. The fourth and fifth person finally said, "Is that still occupied?" And he knocked on the door. "Anybody in there? Anybody in there?" We didn't hear anything. Okay. So then pastor kept a skinny little screwdriver in his drawer, and he'd get that, and then he'd unlock the door, and nope, nobody's in there. You know, that's like kids that would be in a stall at a public restroom, lock it, and then crawl out underneath. You ever had that happen to you? Now, here's a real zinger. Did you ever do that? You know, if all they have is stalls and you have to go bad, you might be a big old, you know, you go down and then you go. So pastor and I opened the door, and then pastor said, "You know, if we had a slide bulb in this, then they couldn't do that." And that's a good idea. So one time when it was locked, Kyle was there. And before we got the little screwdriver to unlock it, I told him, "You know, pastor said if we had a slide bowl in that, then they couldn't do this." And he said, "Yeah." And my lands, by the time I got here to the next service, there was a slide bowl on it. And then here, I don't know, last Sunday recently, I went in and I saw the slide bolt was off and another latch was on. I thought, "Huh, what about that?" So I said something to Kyle tonight. I said, "Hey, the slide bolt." He said, "Yeah." Now, here's where the illustration comes together. He said, "Brother Jim said, you know, the problem with the slide bolt is if somebody were to pass out in there or have some kind of trouble that they couldn't get up to unlock it." When he said that, I said, never thought about that. Nope. Okay. Now, listen, if we had been discussing that and Jim had said, "Well, you know, they might be, you know, might not be able to get in." "Oh, no, now, well, how often is that going to happen? That's not likely to happen." And then Jim said, "Well, but we have to prepare in case it did. It could be disastrous for somebody." "Nah, I don't think so. You're making a mountain out of a molehill." What am I illustrating? I'm illustrating how pride can come in between people. Now, Kyle hit the nail on the head. He said, you see, that illustrates how beneficial it can be for there to be multiple people involved in some of these things that take place around the church. And so we were both pleased that Brother Jim shared his observation. Now, there is an important thing, too.
Yeah.
When you observe something, you need to share it. You need to help others to learn about it. If Jim had simply said, "Well, that was dumb. What did you do that for?" Man goes home and tells Bonnie, if something happened, how are they going to get in there? I don't know why in the world they had to go and do that. That wouldn't help anything, would it? Other than create tension from him toward the others. Now, we didn't know it. We just thought our bright idea was taking place. But the better idea. Now look, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. When two people, they're discussing something and they're not willing to consider the value of the other person's view. And I realize there's some things that can't be both ways. Now, the goal back in the bathroom was to have a lock that would work. Now, because I'm going to have to assume it was a kid. I cannot believe an adult would have done this. Now, the lock set that's there is a kind where you don't twist a button, you just push it in. Hence, when you turn the latch to go out, it unlocks. But so help me. Because you see, when you're pulling that door shut, I weren't born yesterday. I know you put your finger around there and push it in. And you pull it shut with a sneaky little grin. Yeah. That wouldn't be very nice, would it, if someone needed the bathroom in an emergency? Maybe to upchuck, or because they had diarrhea and they needed that bathroom. Now, I realize if they go there and somebody's in there, they've got to do something different. But there they are, and the door's locked, not because somebody's in it, but because somebody thought it'd be a tricky little joke. Oh, by the way, don't forget the hidden camera. Strife can develop when a difference of opinion becomes a priority between people. That was an indirect illustration of it, and it also acknowledges the value of people working together. Okay? Strife separates friends. Let me give this and then I'm going to close. Some examples from the Old Testament. The herdsmen of Abram and Lot strove with each other, according to Genesis 13. Isaac dealt with strife from the people of Gerar over drinking water in Genesis 26. Strife was amongst the Israelites, and it led to Korah's rebellion, and that's in Numbers 16. Next week, I'll start with Numbers 20, which records the Israelites who wished to die as a result of strife. Father in heaven, I do pray that you'll take these thoughts having to do with strife and help us to use them to be a better person, a better Christian. I pray in Jesus' name.